and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. The details, as sketchy as they may be, can be found on the Mulligan Stew website, mulliganstew.ca. Tasting Room Radio is part of that package. Now, last week, we did a natural wines special, part one, which took place in Victoria. It was a great lineup, and we knew that we had enough interviews for perhaps a second show, but we've got about three quarters of a show. And so we're going to go back and let Matt Cook, the organizer, the founder, remind us of what natural wines are and what their place is in today's wine society. And the other interviews that we did in that room that day in Victoria are Annalise Simonson from Creek and Gully, Kelsey Rufiage from Else and Jocko. Check that label out. Murray Fontaine and Aaron Goddard from Scout in the Similkameen Valley. Aaron Thornley from Thorn and Burrow, Skinned Contact Muscat. And then to finish the show, I remembered that one of the very first winemakers that ever talked about natural wines to me and pet gnats was Ann Sperling of Sperling Vineyards just outside Kelowna. So I went back, found that interview, and have combined it into a natural love-in, natural wine love-in. Congratulations to Matt Cook for dreaming of and then organizing the first ever Barnyard Natural Wine Festival, March the 24th, 2023, at the Save-On Arena in Victoria. And we're going to be back for year two. Enjoy the show. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room at Mooncursor is now open, so you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. Just a reminder that the tasting room is now open. All the details at mooncursor.com. Welcome. This is Tasting Room Radio. It's Barnyard Natural Wine Festival, March 24, 2023. And we're going to jump straight to it because we have an entire room that's going to be filled with winemakers and cider makers and people wanting to talk about what they're putting on the table in front of us. And I wanted to start with the guy who actually invited me, or I invited myself, frankly, Matt Cook. You're going to have to do the shortened version of your bio.
I started in engineering and it just wasn't speaking to me, so I had to try my hand out in the hospitality world. Jumped into a few bars in Vancouver, worked my way up into some bar manager positions, and then eventually made my way to Victoria, where I took over the wine program and the bar program at Olo Restaurant,
yep,
which closed back in 2020.
Unfortunately,
it was a great little spot, and it was really there that I got to start pushing on the natural wine scene and connecting with all the people that we have in the room today.
Was it because what they were serving?
Yeah, it was very much connected to the food. We were a farm-to-table restaurant, a lot of fermentation and everything made from scratch, so it made sense to highlight wines that were doing the same thing.
And how tough was that sell, that table-to-table, person-to-person marketing in the room?
I wouldn't say it was tough, but only because we were very well educated on it, and we had a small front-of-house team, and we all cared about what we were serving, and so we were able to really talk and connect with the guests.
And we the customer? Were we in on that?
Well, you became in on it. We convinced you to be in on it.
You were conversed, yes.
Yes, and we kind of had a bit of a reputation for that, coming to Olo to obviously have some great food, but also to find some wines that you've never seen before. And we were, you know, educated ourselves on it so we could tell you what we liked and what worked with the food. And you know, if you were coming in for a California cab, we wouldn't have that, but we could direct you somewhere else that might be exciting and different and try to open some doors.
What is natural? Explain natural wine to someone who only has heard about it, has never tasted it. What is natural wine?
I think a nice way to phrase it is natural wine is low intervention winemaking. So we're letting the grapes do the talking right from the vineyard where they're grown. You're letting them grow in a more organic or natural way, doing less to control, you're not controlling, but using nature's approach to controlling pesticides and herbs and herbicides and that sort of thing. So you're letting the grapes grow as they would grow in nature, and then you are letting them ferment as they would naturally ferment.
It is old school winemaking, but it's really, really old school.
It's how wine was made from the beginning, I'm sure. It's still how they make wine in the old world in some places. It's something new to BC in the sense that we are a new region, and the people that are, you know, in this room today are starting to reconnect with those old ways.
And they're having an effect.
Well, I think they're having an effect.
Look at the room.
It's a beautiful group of people here. And the amount of winemakers that are starting to do this in BC is, I think, a great percentage in comparison to other countries.
I saw this quote go by. Oh, is it Madeleine Puckett from, it flies against the status quo. It challenges what people think is good wine. They don't see the same colors. They don't smell the same smells. They don't taste the same taste. You have to adjust to the wines.
Very much. And that's, you know, when we were serving the wine at Olo, that is what we had to warn people of. You know, this might not be something you're expecting, but it's still pretty good and it's exciting and it's going to work well with your food. And that's as well why we're doing this tasting today, is to educate not only the public, but, you know, restaurateurs and liquor store owners and buyers from around Vancouver Island about these options, and give it a taste. It might be a little bit scary to think about, but try it and just come around to it.
They all have stories here.
Everybody's got a story.
Give me half a dozen people I should go talk to.
Yeah, well, I think in my opinion, the original natural winemakers in BC, you've got to go chat with Jay Drisdell from Bella and Matt Sherlock from Lochinworth. As you kind of move around the room, there's some second generation winemakers that's really neat. So they've been brought up in the Okanagan, their parents have owned wineries, and now they're seeing the opportunity to sort to shift the way their families make wine. So I'm talking about Rajan from Ursa Major, you've got Keenan and Zoe with Sage Hills, and Kelsey, who's doing her Elsewine project. It's really neat to see we are now in that second generational winemaking in BC.
Yeah.
Go to Europe, you've got 20th generation winemakers, but we're in our second generation here, and already they're making a shift and starting to evolve the process.
How did last night go? You had a dinner, right?
We had a few dinners last night, yeah. We had a wonderful 5-course tasting menu at the Courtney Room with Anthony Buchanan. That went awesome. We had a few BC wineries, Dominion Cider, Keenan and Zoe, Rigger and Whimsy, Elsewines, and Plot Wines at Endive, a really cool new restaurant in town that really focuses on natural wine. And then from Vancouver, we had Miki and Steven from Hanai Restaurant do a pop-up at the old Agrius restaurant in the Fola P space, bringing over a bunch of their wines that they import and cooking some cool food.
If you like the way this turns out, will you do it again?
I think so, yes. I would very much like to do this again.
And who's coming? Is it the trade or is it consumers?
We've got trade doors in about an hour and a half. We've got about 120 people coming through with trade. All the way from, we've got people from California, Ontario, Winnipeg, all over Vancouver Island and Vancouver coming over for the trade portion in the afternoon. And then this evening we've got a consumer event. A lot of people again from all over the province coming out for this. It's really exciting that, you know, we've been able to create this in Victoria and get people to the island for it.
Let's talk about that. I don't want to take it any more of your time. Who's driven to, who is attracted by this? Is it gender driven? Is it age driven? Who's looking at natural wines now and pushing this?
That's a good question. I think it is definitely a younger demographic. My grandfather will be at the tasting tonight, and I think he'll be the oldest person here by a mile. But it's definitely a younger, almost female-dominated audience that we have. And it's really neat to see in that sense, too, because it is showing that wine is exciting for younger people to get involved with. I think there was a bit of a dip in wine consumption, you know, 20 years ago, but now this new generation of winemakers, these new styles of wine speak to the palates of, you know, 20 to 30 to 40 year olds.
Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah.
What's your website?
My website is barnyardwinefest.ca.
Are you pouring any natural wines here at the rink?
No, we are not.
No, that would be a really tough sell.
However, I always have a couple bottles kicking around, so if you know who to look for, you might be able to find you a glass.
Under the bar.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Wines in Osoyoos. Happy to report that the tasting room at Mooncursor is now open, so you can book your tasting now. If you sign up for the newsletter, they'll blow the whistle on the new releases when the time comes. Just pick the wines that you want for your club shipments and get first dibs on releases and fancy rare stuff from the old small lots wines. And shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. Just a reminder that the tasting room is now open. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the tasting room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca.
Tell them who you are.
Aaron Goddard from Scout Vineyard.
Yeah. Murray Fontaine, Scout Vineyard.
Nice. All right. So now, first of all, do you feel comfortable in this room?
Oh, yeah, of course. They're all friends of ours. Yeah.
Did you know how big the community was? Are they communicating with each other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talk often. Get together sometimes, probably not as much as we'd like. We're all busy at the same times, but we definitely communicate a lot.
Here's the short version of the Scout story, friends. Scout Vineyards, you need to know about this label when you see it. It's so different, it's so good, you just need to know. Was it always natural wines from the beginning?
Yes.
Who made that decision? As the partners, all the partners?
Yeah, we all felt that way about the way the wine needed to be made. It really starts with the farming, so that's the primary focus. We have regenerative farming practices. The vineyard's also certified organic. So the idea is to really. If the farming is the focus, then and less inputs in the farming, the idea is to eventually get to a place one day where there's no outside inputs off the farm. We still feel like ways to go.
And transparency.
Transparency is really important, yes. And it just kind of translates towards the wines. We want to make the wines in this similar fashion to the way that we're farming. Less inputs, ideally something that is just grapes, spontaneous ferments and nothing added. So, yeah.
How many natural wines coming out of the Similkameen?
There's a few. The term natural is a little bit complicated, as you know, so different definitions, but but there's good wines coming out of the Similkameen. Yeah,
what did you bring to pour today?
We brought a few wines. We have the first wine we got is an unusual wine, I'd say, but we make it from, we call it our farm blend, and it comes from both Murray's farm is the Scout Vineyard that we get most of our grapes from. And I have an organic orchard as well, so it's a combination of the two.
What do you call it?
We call it farm blend, just because from two farms.
Not a field blend, but a farm blend.
Farm blend, yeah.
Is and it, two farms?
Yeah, two farms. Includes apples and pears, as well as Riesling and Syrah grapes. So a few things.
Is it an experiment?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, we hadn't tried this before, but we wanted to utilize something that wasn't strictly grapes, and because I had some apples and pears, we're trying to use seconds that might, you know, look a little ugly, be smaller, but taste still good. Tried to use some cider varieties or some dessert varieties that work well. So this is a skin contact Riesling. 100% Riesling on the skins for 7 to 10 days or so. We brought an older vintage, or 2018, because we're sold out most of our wines right now. So we're just bringing some fun things to taste.
Yeah, I couldn't help but notice that they're sold out. Tell me about the reds.
We got two reds. One is a co-ferment of Syrah and Riesling. We take the whole cluster of Syrah, we put them in our Cuvée, like clay tanks, and fill it up with Riesling juice, let it ferment that way. And the other one is 100% Syrah, all made in Cuvée as well.
Now, here's the tricky part. How does this audience get their hands on Scout Wines?
Wine Club? Sign up for our newsletter is an easier way. We don't have a wine club yet. We've been
thinking about
throwing around the idea.
It wouldn't look like other wine clubs. It would be different.
Yeah, probably. We've talked about that. We're trying to figure that out. But yeah, you can get it online. We sell a certain amount online, and then we sell some to restaurants and some select wine shops in BC mostly. We do sell a little bit in Quebec and Ontario, Alberta. That's about it right now. Yeah.
Thank you for this. I appreciate it. What's your website?
Scoutvineyard.com.
Have a good year.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
It seems every time we meet, it's in Victoria.
I know. How was that? Like four years ago?
Just a second. I made a note. Where are you guys? Right there. Kelsey, Els in Echo Bay.
Yeah.
Els is for the curious ones and lovers of fermentation.
Yes. Yeah, people are just banging on the case to get it.
Okay, now here's the deal. I have a bottle of Jocko at home.
Yes.
It's a Cab Franc.
Yeah.
I think I got it from my visit to Naramata Inn.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering the shelf life on it.
Yeah. I'm unsure how many years it'll go. I made it, the purpose for making it was to be bright, fresh, and
fresh.
Fruity.
Okay.
So
it's been a year. I would
drink it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Then that's what I'll do.
That was kind of the style I was going for when making it.
What did you
Only a week on skin, so it's not very...
What did you bring to pour today?
So I have my new releases, which aren't released until the summer. So these are all tank samples. So I have a Viognier Pet Nat, a Pinot Pinot Carbo Carbo.
I saw that.
I call it PPCC if it's too long for some people. It's Pinot Noir, carbonically fermented bunches in Pinot Blanc juice.
I know it's a lot of work, but are you having fun?
Always, yes.
This is your dream.
Well, it's so fun to be around all these wonderful people who are all passionate about it, and we just get along so well. So.
And this is the road you decided to take right from day one, natural wines?
Oh, natural winemaking. Well, I do it because I think it's quite fascinating that yeast can make wine like this without us doing anything. So it's more of a fascination than anything.
By the way, what's going to happen at 8 a.m. on the...
Well, you know what? Nothing's going to happen because that's from last year.
Oh, is it really?
So I need to update my website.
Oh, hell, yes.
That's what's going to happen is I'm going to update my website.
What is the website?
Elsewines.ca.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelsey.
It's nice to see you again.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the Tasting Room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth. Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. There's a spring release party April 22nd, and we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain, and a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
It's Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, and we are at the first ever Natural Wine Festival in a rink in Victoria, the home of the Victoria Royals. It's kind of cool. Now, the last time that I talked to, Annalise Simonson from Creek and Gully, was at Top Drop, and you guys had like a chalkboard. It was fancy schmancy, but I don't see a chalkboard over there.
No chalkboard today, no. I did bring like a little small one, but I am not the one that does the fancy schmancy handwriting. I look a little bit more like chicken scratch.
Now, this is a natural wine festival. That's what it's called. Creek and Gully is a cider company, of course, and a family and a farming community. But you fit, don't you?
Yeah, we have always liked to think of ourselves as natural sparkling cider. You know, we were heavily inspired by Bellet Sparkling Wines when we started out. Of course, we're also in Naramata. So we do much the same techniques, just with a different base.
Yeah, and of course, you made friends with Jay because you weren't taking any Gamay away from him.
It usually helps when you're not competing for grapes.
That's right. Especially the Gamay.
Yeah.
So, Top Drop, it was a success for you guys. You were a bright light in that room. I liked it a lot. And you had things to say. Tell people about Creek and Gully on the Naramata Bench.
Yeah, so my family has been there for 5 generations, and we've been farming for that full time. Most recently, we're farming about 65 acres of certified organic orchard, and we sell it for the fresh fruit market. Yeah. And we just take anything that's got a blemish, and we turn that into cider. And it's our food waste reduction system. So that natural side already existed in our farm. We just wanted to start introducing that into our cider production as well. So we do wild ferments, bottle or can conditioned ciders, and everything's unfined and unfiltered.
So the same process that the natural wine people are going through.
Exactly, yeah. We hand riddle, we hand disgorge. Yeah, we touch those bottles more than I would care to admit.
You know how we talk about Pinot Noir being the heartbreak grape and a diva and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Cider's none of that.
No, not really. Apples are really happy in the Okanagan. You know, we have an entire town called Peachland. It's a space for tree fruit. So it works really well. We produce almost 1 million pounds of apples every year. Of course, we've had some heartbreak with the heat dome, and that really affected our blossom. But in general, it's been pretty good.
You've had some heartbreak with bulldozers ripping out orchards to do vineyards.
Certainly, yeah. When I was a kid, there was 3, maybe 5 wineries. I drive past 43 now. It's an entirely different space than where I grew up.
And you're asked to move along. Okay, so what did you bring to pour?
I'm going to bring something called Just Crab, which is 100% hyssop crab apples. I'm pouring something called Plum, which is Italian prune plums that grow on our bank as a way to actually hold up the structural integrity of that bank.
Cheap Tricks?
Cheap Tricks, yeah. That's a collaboration with one of the other producers here, Rigor and Whimsy.
Century,
yeah. That's made using apples that were planted 112 years ago. So they're the oldest apple trees in Naramata.
How many different Goldies are there, or is it just the one?
Just one. Goldie is, you know, named Goldie for Goldie Oldie. It's our back vintage. It spends 8 months in neutral oak barrel and then a year Surlis. So it's our one age cider we produce every year.
Okay, so just talking natural for a second. You feel very comfortable with, do you know a lot of these people?
Yeah, we were making the joke earlier that you have to get us all out of the Okanagan to actually get this many producers in a room.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice. They're all friends.
And how's the communication between farmers?
Great, especially natural farmers, right? We're all forming a small community. We can fit most of them in a room, so it's nice to have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Is there a website that we can go to?
For Creek and Gully? Yes, there is. creekandgully.com.
How about natural anything?
You have
one you want to recommend?
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, so did we cover all of your ciders?
We did cover all of my ciders, yes. Thank you.
You guys have, you know, because they're notorious, the winemakers, for having something under the table.
Yes.
Do you have anything under the table?
I have something sneakily in the car that I'm bringing around this week to some of our favorite producers just to say thank you.
And, what is it?
It's called Bittered Cider. It's got lemon zest, orange zest, grapefruit, and lime. And then it ferments on that for a month.
Annalise Simonson from Creek and Gully. I'll come and taste. Thank you very much.
Of course. I'll see you at the car.
Thank you.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
We've come to Thorn and Burrow, named after...
Well, it's an amalgamation, really. My name, last name's Thornley. It's a small little gorilla outfit, but we're only do skin contact white. So it's a little of homage to kind of how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go. And that's how I used to sell wine when I was in the restaurant industry. So it's kind of like a little tip to the cap to Alice in Wonderland, I guess. And I like ampersands.
Yes. And did you pour natural wines when you were in the restaurant?
For sure, yeah. So I started my career back in the day, like 2006-07, opening up Salt Tasting Room. So back then there was only two people bringing in natural wine, which is Brian at Racine and, yeah. And Matt at Sedimentary. Yeah. So I've been supporting the industry for many, many years. So I've run a few different restaurants and always had a natural wine list, always kind of been about educating the staff, educating the consumers. And it's so nice to see so many
places. And you have
friends in here? Yeah, I know everyone in here, yeah. I know a lot of people in here, yeah.
What did you bring to pour today?
So, as I said, we're a small little skin contact focused brand. So, predominantly, we play around with aromatic whites. So, as I'm a kind of a guerrilla outfit, I just source organic fruit. I don't have a winery.
Sure.
I'm a custom crush client. So, I always can find some Gewürztraminer, which is quite heavily planted in BC. And then I recently took over a small residential 3-acre Abbotsford site. So I've got five different varieties. So Abbotsford, I kind of use. I've got a field blend Pet Nat from Abbotsford, and then I use my Abbotsford site as kind of a little acid backbone. So all these Gewürztraminers that I have tonight are all blended with a little acid backbone from my Abbotsford site, which has five different varieties.
There's goo one day, and carbo goo.
Exactly. So I did Gewürztraminer three different ways, really. So it was just it's a little project that for me is a lesson and experiment. So I'm you know, learning as I go, different niche, playing with different stuff. But yeah, the one you just tried was basically my flagship. So 200 cases of this, which is a lot for me. So this is pretty much half Gewürztraminer, and then half of this is the Abbotsford Vineyard Field Blended.
What's your website?
ThornleyBoroughWines.com.
And I know one thing, you're going to have a ball with these people, and you already have. And you're going to have a wonderful day today and tonight.
Looking forward to it.
And it will spin you forward.
Exactly. So for us, you know, we're into our, like, fourth year. So it's about, you know, brand, just getting the brand out there, yeah. showing people yeah. of Victoria who might not know us.
Thank you for the taste.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. April brings fresh new wines to Unsworth, Cowichan Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sunnydale Rosé, Saison Pinot Gris, and Symphony. There's a spring release party April 22nd, and we welcome a grand new chef, Dan Bain, and a brand new executive chef brings a brand new menu that's launching right now. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher. These wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. Ann Sperling, who is without a doubt one of the very best winemakers in the entire country. She has Sperling Vineyards in East Kelowna. That's her family's vineyards. Those are some old vines there, friends. She has been hired to consult in Niagara, which is where we found her. She's also consulting in Argentina. She knows her stuff. When you hear Anne talking and you hear the pitch of her voice, you can hear the passion for what she's making and what she's working with. It just comes through. She can't help it. She just gets excited. So I really look forward to catching up with Ann Sperling. And the thing is, if anybody is going to do something new and interesting and sort of push the envelope, it'll be Ann Sperling. And I want to celebrate that because we're going to talk about regenerative growing, about, you know, making the land as good as it was when you started growing in it so many years ago, what the earth gave us. And it's a lot of work to make sure that land is preserved. And basically, she's done it. And that's why the wines taste still so good. She has, I think, six wines she's going to pour for us. From the Vision Series, the Ruby Pet Nat. I just want to mention it. These are your old vines. Marechal Foch, still?
Yep.
All right, the 2021 Spritz Pet Nat. Very handsome in the bottle, really handsome. I mean, if you're looking at it on a shelf and it's lit correctly, it'll just catch your eye. When I was growing up, the only term I ever heard for wine, which was really the waffle wines in the house, awful, terrible, horrible, was cassava. And but you're working with cassava here, also Bacchus and is it Chardonnay?
Yeah, there's a little bit of Young Vines Chardonnay, and there's Pinot Blanc, yeah, and a bit of Pearl. So that the Pearl is a vinifera, and then so is Bacchus. Bacchus was planted in the 1980s, known for its aromatic properties and its early ripening at low Brix.
Well, it's found its place because as a pet nat, it's grand. It's really good, and it's 9% alcohol by volume.
And that's what I love about it, too, is that both the Pearl and the Bacchus have lovely, ripe characters with very low Brix. So you can make a wine that's light and fresh and has that, you know, kind of lifestyle quality of a bit lower alcohol.
If you see it on a shelf, friends, I would suggest that you just plunk it down. Well, we'll tell you what the price point is in a second. Because, I mean, on the nose, you've got lemon, you've got citrus all over the place. It's fabulous. Spritz Pet Nat from the one and only Sperling Vineyards at 9%, which you can leave in bottle for a couple of years. What's the price point?
So the two Pet Nats are at $32.
$32, okay.
Yeah. So can I just jump in and describe how that wine's made and what the kind of the uniqueness is? So Pet Nat stands for Petillon Naturel, which is French for natural sparkling or natural light sparkling. And so this is a method that starts in the winery, in a tank with fermentation. And before the fermentation is completed, we take the wine to a bottle that can take some pressure, and we let the fermentation finish in the bottle. So with the cap closed, the bubbles, the CO2, are trapped inside. So it makes the wine effervescent or lightly sparkling. But because the fermentation is happening as it does, there's yeast still in the bottle. And so the wine is cloudy or will have a bit of sediment in the bottom of the bottle. I think, you know, when you're not moving the bottle around, you'll see a light sediment. But as soon as you move it, it'll stir up and make the wine cloudy. So this is kind of like a bottle conditioned beer in terms of that presence of yeast and cloudiness. The wine is completely dry. It has like no residual sugar. It's gone through malolactic, but with that extra body, it still feels full on the palate. So from a, you know, kind of a health point of view, you've got a bit lower alcohol, you've got no residual sugar, you also have no additives, and particularly no sulfites.
You're saying you like it?
Well, I'm saying that it's there's a lot of things that make it light in terms of digestibility and enjoyment, right?
Did you make enough for everyone?
Well, we did make quite a bit last year, thankfully. It's been really popular. The two Pet Nats in our tasting room have been our top sellers over the last year or so. We just really launched about with the 2019 vintage, but, you know, getting the word out was a bit slow during the pandemic. So it's been kind of available for about a year now. And
All I did was ask the question and you took off. You were laying in wait for me that you wanted to talk about your Pet Nats because obviously they're really, really wonderful. Let's take a break here and charge our glasses. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Pinot Blanc, the Old Vines Riesling, and the Amber, the wonderful Amber from Sperling Vineyards. We have Ann Sperling on the line. And finally, we come to Amber, the Amber Pinot Gris. The bottle is empty, and it's totally empty. Organic 2021 Amber Pinot Gris, Sperling Vineyards, with the label, of course, staring out at you, which is your daughter Lauren's drawing, isn't it?
Yes. Yep, it is. I scooped it from her sketchbook one day.
Wild fermented. Amber Pinot Gris. You're saying it can cellar for 5 to 7 years, but I think you made a reference about it's not the vessel, it's the grape.
Yes. And so what I mean by that is like, so an amber or an orange wine is a white wine that's made with a lot of similarities to red wine making. So with white wine, we press the grapes almost immediately, and 35% of that grape cluster goes into the compost pile, and 65% of it goes into the fermentation. Whereas when you're making an orange wine, we're using whole clusters and destemmed grapes. And so we're getting closer to 100% of that grape ending up having an influence on the wine that's made. So the stems and skins and seeds are all part of this fermentation. And so rather than put it into clay or cement or wood or any other, you know, vessel, I'm just putting a very short time in stainless steel so that you're getting, you know, we can settle it, cold settle it and get it ready for bottling. But I don't really want the flavor to be influenced by the vessel. So we're bottling within about 6 months of harvest. And and again, with no filtration, no fining. So we're not taking anything out, and also no sulfites. So you're getting a really pure expression of that grape.
How much is that expression costing me?
Yeah, it's 35. We did, we had a small price increase this year just because there's so much demand for it, but yeah.
All right, and how many cases?
For BC, we have about 400 cases.
Wonderful. Amber, Pinot Gris, wonderful. Yeah. 12.1 in alcohol. Wonderful guava, some tea notes in there. $35, 400 cases. Okay, so now, Ann Sperling, I have to ask you a couple of big questions. I'll let you go. One is, I know that you care greatly about extending your family's farm and taking care of it, watching over it, and also, you know, being a good neighbor and being the best possible winemaker you can be, which includes growing those grapes. So we get to regenerative farming. This is not organic. It's not biodynamic. It's regenerative. Can you explain?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a lot of overlap in some of the concepts, but I'll take the regenerative part to its, you know, to its simplest, I'll say. But it depends on cover crops. And so it's not so much about the vines, but it is indirectly, but it's about keeping the soil alive with plants and roots and, you know, photosynthesis, as well as the mycorrhizae in the soil. So the idea is that in the planet friendly thinking, growing those plants and keeping the soil stabilized with roots and mycorrhizae is going to pull some of that carbon out of the atmosphere that we've been losing and hold it in the soil. From the vine's perspective, it's making a much more complex soil makeup of microorganisms and bringing not only carbon nutrition, but other nutrition that the plants need into the soil and making those connections that you were talking about in the root zone so that the grapevine can benefit from the availability of nutrients. And then it's stabilizing the soil, so we're not losing it to erosion because our vineyards are on slopes. It's also covering the soil with green and growing material. And what that does is it allows for beneficial insects as well as creatures up the chain. So, you know, other birds, for example, benefit from the insect populations, and the competition between the insects helps to reduce the pressure from any insect pests that might want to come in and affect our vines. But it also helps to keep the soil surface a bit cooler. So I think we've all seen those posts that people do in the middle of summer that says, you know, if you've got a tree covered street, it's much cooler than bare pavement. And that's kind of the idea that we're talking about. So we've got these cool climate varieties that really benefit from freshness and acidity. And by keeping the soil surface 10 or 15 degrees cooler, especially when we have these heat spikes that we haven't traditionally had in our growing area, we can maintain our quality standards in terms of that flavor profile. So there's a lot of really good reasons to be regenerative.
Hey, and does having a healthy farm and vineyard and soil farming practices, does it make for healthier wine?
Absolutely. Like when I think about, you know, you've commented on, for example, the alcohol levels in our wine. So some of that's related to the climate, but it's also related to organic farming. So we're making the vines healthy through natural ways, but the grapes themselves are triggered by the season in terms of their when to ripen, rather than being pushed with a lot of nitrogen fertilizer.
Yep.
That creates a sweeter grape, but not necessarily a more complete flavor in the grapes. So we're getting that mature character and a healthy juice in the sense of having all the nutrients that we need to ferment, but without the high sugars or high alcohols for in the end wine. So I think it's, you know, it's a winning combination, so that you can, you know, you don't have to know all of the back story stuff, but just to know that the farming practices affects the, you know, the flavor of the wine.
Thank you, Anne Sperling. What is your website, please?
SperlingVineyards.com.
She's Anne Sperling, the winemaker and the co-owner of Sperling Vineyards in East Kelowna. All the details on our website, TastingRoomRadio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. Thank you, Anne. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher. These wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com.